All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. What's up? What's up, baby?
What's up? Look at the, he's got new glasses and a nice hat. I mean,
I'm channeling my inner beach guy. Or, you know who I think I look like? I look like the guy at the end of Silence of the Lambs when he's on the payphone and like, he's got his like beach hat on, but it's not really a beach hat. It's like a hot weather hat.
You just need a Hawaiian shirt. Next time, that's going to be the challenge. When you jump over to put the glasses on, you have the Hawaiian shirt, the hat, and the sunglasses.
I should have gone the whole way.
Yeah. Like, really commit, man. Come on.
Right, right. Damn. I'm just getting the hang of this.
And we're going to be shock DJs someday, so you have to really, you know, work up to it.
Hey, are you friends with Mike Hinton? Are we friends with Mike? Does Mike listen to the podcast?
I don't know. I don't know if I know Mike Hinton.
All right. He's our stormtrooper, 501st. Okay. Yeah, he comes to the popcorn pickup in full stormtrooper gear and Chewbacca and
C-3PO.
It's awesome. But anyway, what made me think of him is there's a dude who commits.
You could say that.
My man is all in.
Oh, that's awesome.
How you doing, man? How you living?
I'm surviving. What, we're on week 900 something? I don't even know.
I feel like the podcast is my only reference to passing time. Like everything else is a blur and kind of fuzzy and unclear.
here's something during this whole quarantine that's really got me confused. Somehow Westworld was coming out every week, and twice I got behind an episode. And I don't know how that happened, because it's like, what else am I doing but waiting for the next episode of Westworld? So how did a whole, twice did a whole week pass and I didn't think about it?
I don't know, maybe it didn't pass yet.
Hey, you got some, well, you take your slick glasses off for serious talk.
Yeah.
You got some news about what's going on with the theater biz.
So Penn Cinema's opening a drive-in.
What?
And have you ever heard anybody talk about, it's not really an expression, but it's more like just a phrase. Like, have you ever heard anybody talk about, like, we jump out of the plane and build the parachute on the way down?
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're doing. So we had this great idea and we felt like we had most of it figured out. So we announced to the world, we're going to do a drive-in and it opens this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, which back when we had the idea was like Memorial Day weekend, like that's forever.
Yeah.
Like, it'll never be Memorial Day weekend.
Come on. That's not how time works.
Right. Right. So we made this announcement, we made some basic plans, and now we're just going crazy like China. You know, it's little things like, you know, how are we going to get everybody parked and what are you going to do about motorcycles and how are you going to deliver food and what if it rains and how much rain do you tolerate and where do you put the porta potties?
Oh, my word.
Yeah, so we are, I mean, I'm excited, don't get me wrong, like super excited about it, but we're at that exciting moment before any good big project where we're totally gripped with terror.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
I've been talking to some people and they're pretty pumped. They're like,
well, that's, go ahead.
They're saying this is great. They're like, oh, it's awesome, you know. What I heard specifically from some people especially a pregnant woman, they said they were much more inclined to go to Penn Cinema's drive-in than some random drive-in that's happening like around in some parking lot or whatever because of the bathrooms.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's, it's funny you would say that because that's part of our concern is that like everybody got really excited and we were like,
Slow what you
your roll there, champ. So, I mean, as usual, like, we are all in. Like, we're totally committed. Our screen is amazing. It's as big as the building. It's massive. We have sound basically figured, and we're dialing it in. We have help from a variety of sound technicians that we know, that we're friends with, that are friends with the theater. And so we're going to figure it out. We have our very best projectionist, a guy named Forrest Doan, who he's the guy that came and installed when we went digital. He was in the building converting all the theaters to digital projection. So he's going to be coming down this week. So we're going to get there. But like when it's late at night and I'm laying in my bed staring at the ceiling, I'm thinking about the parking lot, I'm thinking about parking lot lights, I'm thinking about bathrooms, I'm thinking about signage, you know, all that fun stuff. So it's going to be awesome. I really can't wait. So tickets go on sale probably, if you're listening to this podcast, you know, but so tickets will go on sale Monday afternoon. May 18th. May 18th at 5 p.m., Monday afternoon at 5 p.m. So there's a little pressure there on me and Drew to get the details sorted out and get everything. But I think one of the – I mean, we've had some big Facebook posts before, and we've had some big news, and we sort of know a little bit about that. But we have never had news blow up like the way the drive-in announcement blew up when we posted a picture of those screens. And we had thousands of comments, thousands of shares, and reached something like 500,000 individual Facebook users. Wow. So pretty crazy. So we feel that in a good way, driving us, you know, motivating us to do it right. And then follow-up story for – first of all, if you're a listener and your home movie theater is Penn Cinema Wilmington or Penn Cinema Huntington Valley, drop me a line, podcast@penncinema.com. I'd love to know if people down there are listening to the show or if it's mostly just a Lidditz Lancaster thing. But anyway, we are actively pursuing. We've been in touch with our landlord in Huntington Valley. Actually, he I think if it was up to him, our drive-in would have opened last week. You know, he's excited, but so we're working out the details of that. But the next one probably that will be ready will be Wilmington. The Riverfront Development Corporation is really terrific, and we've been in conversation with them, dialogue with them. And there's a really big, open, empty parking lot across the street from Penn Cinema in Wilmington. So we're in conversations to set that up. And so we'll give it a run in Lidditz, and then once we figure out – you know, once we feel like we know what we're doing,
yeah,
then we'll move along to Wilmington and Huntington Valley. But yeah, I'm excited. This is the biggest news since we opened IMAX, in my opinion.
And there's another little tidbit of news. Something that got me excited is bubble screening over in Ephrata.
Yeah. So that's been interesting. We drew a couple haters, a couple people commented on it that they didn't like it. And I don't know, they were a little snippy about it, which is fine. But so what we're doing in Ephrata, I'm calling them a bubble screen because we're sort of talking about like, I've heard this phrase before. I don't know if everybody uses it, but the phrase is sort of referring to your bubble of not only people that you're quarantining with, but maybe your people you're quarantining with plus your, you know, immediate family that might happen to be in another house. But, you know, increasingly people are coming out of their house and they're breaking quarantine a little bit, but they're staying within their bubble, you know. Yeah. So it might be more than just the three or four people that you live with, but it might be maybe eight people or 10 people. And so the idea is we are renting out private screenings. Typically, a private screening is anywhere from $500 to $1,000. But what we're doing, and I'll explain in a minute why we can get away with this, what we're doing is private screenings for $150. This is in Ephrata at the New Main. Families can come in with their little group, and we have showtime separated by a solid half an hour. So your family can come in, get the concessions, do what you want to do, see a movie, and you don't have to worry about being close to any other strangers or public. So it's still, I understand it's definitely expensive. I mean, $150 is a lot of money, but it's cheaper than a regular rental. And, you know, if you have a bunch of kids and, you know, get a, you and your in-laws and your grandparents, if you get your whole gang together, it ends up being, you know, probably comparable to a regular price of everybody buying a movie ticket. Plus, you get to come out of the house and see a movie and that kind of stuff. So the reason why we can do it is because there's no new content. So, everybody's kind of winging it. Like, I booked I got the idea because I started booking movies for the drive-in, and I realized, well, if those movies are available at the drive-in, you know, we'll make them available in Ephrata. And we're sort of doing in Ephrata, if the bubble screening idea works, if people like it and it's successful, then it could be, I'm not saying it's going to be, but it could be something that we transition to in Lititz. But we're not starting in Lititz because we wanted to, first of all, obviously they're two totally different companies, but second of all, Ephrata is so small, so manageable. Right. You know, I can run those screenings by myself and sort of see it and get a feel for it. And if it's a good idea, we'll continue to do it. Or if we do a few of them and it's not as cool as we thought, then we'll just stop doing it.
Yeah. I really like the idea. I was talking to some people. They thought it was pretty great, too, especially for families that are trying to get together for children's birthday parties.
Right.
It was one that I heard. They were like, well, what do we do? You know.
Right.
It's not very exciting when the kid's been stuck in the house anyway. So.
Right.
They were like, oh, this could be a good way for the family to go do something.
Yeah. And I know everybody's concerned, and I just want to say that I share that concern. I take the shelter in place very seriously. I take quarantine seriously, and we're not looking to pick any sides or make any statement or, you know, anything like that. What I'm trying to do is literally just see, you know, what can we provide? Because I think increasingly we're seeing people are going out. You know, so if we can give them an option that is safer than just going out and wandering around Target, you know, then maybe that's, you know, maybe that's a service, maybe that's a good thing. And maybe I'm just telling myself what I want to hear, but I feel like I have to trust my instinct and my judgment, and I feel I'm taking the quarantine very seriously, but I'm also understanding, I think there's a component where people are going to be doing stuff anyway, and if we can offer a safe choice, that might be it might be okay.
Yeah, very cool. Well, something you won't be able to see and judge anytime soon.
Oh, we can judge.
Well, you can always judge, I guess. Deadpool 3. Rob Liefeld, one of the creators of Deadpool, blames Marvel for the lack of a Deadpool 3 movie. This is a quote I have here because earlier this week he was asked in an interview if there was any news on the Deadpool 3 movie, and he said, there's no news. As far as I'm aware, there's nothing going on. There's no new Deadpool movie coming out, and that's mostly because Marvel doesn't have a plan. And here's the thing. Marvel had a Phase 3 plan before they bought Fox. And so the Marvel franchise, the Fox people, or it's not people, the Fox characters were not a part of the plan for Phase 3. You know, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen in Phase 4. So he's, I guess, irritated that they didn't have a plan for Deadpool when they bought Fox. So this blew up on the internet, and people were like pissed at him for saying that there wasn't going to be any more. How does he know? And Disney can do no wrong, and blah blah blah. So he comes back, and this is a quote he had. He said, "Do I know that there is no movement on Deadpool 3 right now? I know that. Yes. And he told IO9, he says, and does that worry me? No, not at all. What I did was I answered a question honestly, and what I learned this week is just lie. Just tell people everything is lollipop and unicorns and rainbows, and you'll be better off in your life because people want to be lied to. Just because some guy goes, yeah, we're still moving along, that's code for there's nothing to see here.
I have a couple things to say about that. First of all, just tell people everything is lollipop and unicorn and rainbows. All of a sudden, I'm hungry for Lucky Charms.
So you're not even thinking about Deadpool anymore. That's the problem.
This is the second best quote of the week. I will get to the first best, but I like this. Do you know who Rob Liefeld was before you read this story?
Only because of my comic book fandom.
Yeah, I never heard of the guy.
Yeah, okay.
But now he's one of my favorite people. Because I love this position, the candor, the honesty, and with a little bit of a sense of humor. And yeah, we're still moving along. That's code for there's nothing to see here. One of my favorite things to do is read the newspaper and read the politicians' quotes and translate it into, you know, that's code for we're all screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. I get what he's saying. I don't understand why people got so mad. People are so gung-ho about they're making another Deadpool movie. I don't know how you feel about it. Like, I like the Deadpool movies, but I don't want them to make another Deadpool movie and try and like, wrench it into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, I'm fine if they make one and keep it, like, as a continuation of what it is, but why does it have to be wrenched in with the other heroes when they've got a good thing going? What do you think?
I agree. I mean, I don't know. I have a couple... Like, 6 months ago, if we weren't in quarantine, I would just say something like, you know, people take this stuff too seriously and people are crazy and, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's kind of like somebody asked me one time, I was at a public speaking event talking about something that had nothing to do with movies. And then during the question and answer part of it, somebody asked me how upset I was by the narrative in, I forget if it was The Force Awakens or what it was, but it was whichever the newest, maybe it was Rise of Skywalker. And they wanted to, like, really get into it about the Star Wars plot. And I said, like, this is, like, I never realized until I really, like, got into it how, like, people take this stuff like gospel. You know what I mean? Like, this is, so my instinct is to sort of, like, go into that and be like, oh yeah, Marvel fans are, you know, they're off the deep end on this stuff. But I think there's another, I mean, maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe it's just good old fashioned people, but I feel like everybody's on edge. You know what I mean? Like, we're all cooped up. This freaking quarantine is dragging on forever. And, you know, people are getting antsy, and I think part of it is, like, God help you if you're out there in the public trying to say something. Like, I know this is, like, unofficial. I would just say anecdotal, but I definitely feel like I'm getting more snippy comments on my Penn Cinema and New Main posts than I normally do.
Yeah.
You know, and I definitely feel like some of it is because people are, they're done. You know what I mean? And, like, if you want to say something and it's going to enter their universe, they're going to snip at it. They're going to snap at it, you know?
I saw some of the comments this week and some of the stuff you guys were answering, and I was like, some patience, man. Some patience.
Well, you got to take the high road. What we've learned, and I learned this in politics before I ever got into the movie business, is you just, that's part of being in a leadership position or a high profile position. Not that I'm a high profile, but in my little Penn Cinema universe, like, you got to take the high road. You don't have the luxury. You know, it's an incredible privilege to run a movie theater, and one of the things that you have to deal with is not being able to call someone an idiot even when they ask you something stupid.
Yeah, right.
my favorite, and this, I'm sorry, this sounds like I'm saying it's stupid. It's not stupid, but it's just funny. My favorite question we got was, we got direct messaged, somebody direct messaged Penn Cinema upset because they couldn't figure out how to stream Scoob.
Why didn't you figure that out?
I feel like I'm going to call a restaurant and ask them, like, how do I boil an egg?
I followed the instruction of my cookbook and it didn't turn out. Why?
Right, I'm gonna call Mojo's and ask them how to make fried rice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Penn, we're not the only ones getting crazy about this quarantine.
Right.
You know that? I'm just full of segues today. Don't even at me, bro, because I'll point you in a total another direction.
I'm going to get your tombstone reworked. I already ordered one, but I'm going to order a backup. And this one's going to say, here lies David Moulton, king of the segue.
So studios, man, they're also jonesing to get out and going. So much so that they're now turning to countries and areas that are lifting their quarantine and looking to start to either transition filming into those areas or reboot the filming that was planned for those areas. This to me sounds a little dangerous, especially if they're bringing people that are like from places that are worse off and then bringing them into these places that kind of just got back on the rise. But maybe those people are already there. I don't know. This includes New Zealand, which has the Lord of the Rings series for Amazon filming there right now. And just in case you were concerned, the Avatar movies are back up and running. They're starting their production run on them because they're also filming in New Zealand. So
The Avatar? that rings a bell. I feel like there was a franchise. Wasn't there a movie? Didn't they make a movie called Avatar?
They did. It was a little thing. Not many people saw it. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Didn't have anything to do with 3D or anything. It was.
If memory serves, that was a short 11 years ago.
Yeah. Can you believe they never made another one?
I would have thought they would have made a sequel because that was like super successful, I think, the first one.
Yeah, from what I understand, there's no plans.
Right. Wait, hang on. Yeah, we're still moving along.
Yeah, there's something in the works.
Right.
Wink. So Germany is also included in this, which will affect the new Matrix movie that's getting revamped up. So I guess studios are seeing this and they're wondering, hey, remember how we were going to film in Italy? What if that was New Zealand instead?
You know, all kidding aside, I'm sure you saw the news. Los Angeles County announced they will be on lockdown through the end of August.
Wow.
So I believe that's Hollywood.
Believe what?
I believe that's Hollywood. So, I mean, that, you know, if the studios can't do business in California, I mean, whatever, there's Canadian studios and there's Georgia. And, you know, I know that every movie is not made in Hollywood. But I did take note that Los Angeles has already come out and said we're done till the end of August.
Yeah.
Crazy. Which I thought was pretty bold.
Yeah.
But what do I know? So listen, Avatar, that's in a league with the New Mutants.
Oh, you have New Mutants news? Was that your attempt at a segue?
I heard they're filming a New Mutants sequel released in 2035.
They're going to release, at this rate, the sequel would release before the first movie.
So New Mutants is due to come out on August 28th. What's the over-under on this? Do you think you'll see this in a theater or online?
No, let's pull a segment out that Penn likes to pull on me. The way Penn said it. And the way David would have said, Penn said, so New Mutants is going to release on August 28th. David would say, Penn, get your theater open because New Mutants, it's releasing on August 28th.
I should have read the enthusiasm in the show notes because there's at least a dozen, if not more, exclamation points at the end of August 28th.
Yeah. I mean, this is big news. Just when you were like, when are they going to release and when are they going to release it? New Mutants.
I tell you, it shows you how desperate I am for content because I saw this headline and I was like, cool. I was like, cool, there's our August content.
Is it though? Is it though, or is this just mean that the murder hornets are going to rip through the screens to prevent this movie from releasing?
What's the kids' movie that comes out in August? Is it SpongeBob?
Oh, it might be. Yeah, that was due out in June, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's going to be SpongeBob and the New Mutants. welcome to the summer of 2020.
Man.
Oh my God. And for 4th of July weekend, we're going to be watching the Dark Knight trilogy.
Hey, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, trilogy, me neither.
Trilogy marathon?
Yeah.
I'm all for it. Well, just along this line, quickly, couple months later, Black Widow is now set for October 28th. I know.
That works.
It's a Wednesday night, so it's a good midweek opening. These are good dates. If New Mutants actually happens, it might actually perform at this rate, since people are going to be so hungry to get out and see movies with no competition.
Yeah. Yeah, I have modest expectations for New Mutants, but I was also really excited. I do think Black Widow kicks off like a full-on return to movie going.
Yeah.
I think the end of October we should be out and about, and obviously we already know how excited we all are for Black Widow.
Do you think that this whole quarantine, with everyone stuck at home and just like hanging out in their pajamas all the time, and everything, do you think that this is the wave that starts the transformation into the V-neck jumpsuits of the future from all the old movies? Everyone's wearing the same V-neck jumpsuit. I'm thinking like we come out and we're all just like, screw it. I mean, pajamas are comfortable. Why not just ride this wave, you know?
You gotta wonder, like, when is that turning point? I mean, it's gotta be sometime.
It's gotta be sometime. They've shown it so many times. It's gotta happen.
This is as good a time as any.
Right. Oh, man. Hey, so I got some Pirates of the Caribbean news.
Sweet.
So Disney insider Skylar Schuller says Pirates of the Caribbean 6 will be a soft reboot, potentially starring Doctor Who and Guardians of the Galaxy's Karen Gillan as Red, a fierce and independent nomadic pirate. Apparently, this is a character that was added to the ride and made more of a stronger character in the ride, because originally her character was being sold into a wedding in the ride, apparently. So they, you know, changed it up to make it a little bit more positive. And she's a really popular character in the ride. So I'm a big fan of Karen Gillan, so I'm all for this.
Yeah, I like this because it does what I think I've said on the show I would like to see pirates do. And I think we mentioned it in a different franchise, but it applies here as well, which is like what I'm calling the Creed method. Like, you keep the franchise alive, but start – like, you could have Captain Jack Sparrow in it. You know what I mean? Like, he could be I'm not even saying cameo, but like a small role or, you know, whatever. But have a new star, have a new main character. And I would love the idea of a female lead. I think that would be brilliant. I'd love to see Jerry Bruckheimer. Didn't he do a lot of these, or if not all of them? I'd love to see him or whoever. It's kind of like Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Like, whoever is responsible for the secret sauce that has made Pirates of the Caribbean so much fun, you know what I mean? Like somebody has the right touch. And whoever that is, as long as they stay involved, I love this plan. I think this is great.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as exciting as the upcoming release of Green Knight, but it's still a pretty good plan.
Well, nothing could be more exciting than the upcoming release of Green Knight, especially since it's no longer upcoming.
Because
it was due out in May 29th, and A24 has removed it from their release schedule completely with no new date.
Interesting.
So
what do you make of that?
Didn't we see a trailer for this?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah, this is the one with what's the gentleman's name? It stars
Dev Patel.
Dev Patel, yeah. Yeah. I thought this
and Alicia Vikander.
I thought this looked good, if I remember correctly.
No, I think it looks great. I think I'm super excited for it. I would be excited for it no matter what. And then the fact that it, you know, I think we've talked before, like, we love A24. Like, they make good quality movies.
I wonder if, because A24 tends to be, and you can, maybe I'm wrong in this statement, but their movies tend to have a smaller impact, generally. Maybe this no release date given is just because they're like, well, let's just wait until we know we can make money rather than gamble.
Right, right. Yeah. I totally agree. It's disappointing because I was excited for it, but I don't think many theaters are going to be open on May 29th.
Yeah.
So I don't blame them. I think that's a good call. What are you going to do?
Yeah. So
add it to the list.
Right, exactly. I mean, who would have thought it was coming out May 29th? I mean, I don't think anyone thinks anything's coming out anytime soon. So it's not a huge surprise.
All right. Remember I said the Rob Liefeld's quote was the second best quote of the week?
Yeah.
All right. So IndieWire, one of my favorite websites, reviewed the film Capone.
Okay.
Josh Trank's biopic, Capone. And here's their overall here's the first sentence of the review. What are you doing? You honking a horn over there? All right.
Hey, I muted the mic so people wouldn't know. And you had to call me out.
Oh, I thought since I could hear it, it wasn't muted.
Oh, what do you mean you heard it? I muted it. Get out of town.
I heard it.
Oh, well, maybe it wasn't.
Classic. All right. So anyway, I'm trying to tell you about this great – this is one sentence. This is the first sentence of a film review that I just love it. The film is Capone, and here's the review. Capone does for Scarface what Gus Van Sant's Last Days did for Kurt Cobain. Not a lot and in excruciating detail. It reminds me of like what my football coach used to say about our team. He used to get us all huddled up. We were a pretty bad football team. And he would get us all huddled up and he'd say, listen, you guys may be slow, but you're small.
Wow. I like that. I just like it's not a lot, but an excruciating detail.
Right. And you got, if you're interested, I mean, I'm sure the movie, I'm sure it's a fine film. I'm sure it's a good film. I'm not trying to throw Josh Trank under the bus or whatever, but the review is hilarious. Like, the review goes into great detail about how much the film sucks and like why it's so boring and what it says about the budget of the film. And it's just awful.
Is it such a bad review that now you want to watch it and see how bad it is? Or
no, it's not, because I know what you're saying and I totally have been there. But the reason why I will never watch this movie is because one of the things that the review says is how painfully slow, like it's like there's these long, pensive shots of somebody staring out the window, and then eventually that blends into a flashback, you know, and it's just like goes on for it. So no, it's like I know what you mean. I've read reviews where the film is so bad that I want to see it, but this is more like, you know, it's boring.
Okay.
Anyway, I forgot to tell you.
Oh my gosh.
When we started the news. Now listen, I'm going to tell you this news. But I want to rest assured. I want to alleviate any concerns that you might have and our listeners might have.
Okay.
After I'm famous, I'll still be friends with you and I'll still do the show.
Oh thank God.
All right, because shit's about to get real.
Okay. All right.
I got a phone call from London, England.
What?
From a dude named Edwin Lane. And Mr. Lane is the producer of British radio, BBC Radio. And he was calling – I thought he was calling to interview me about running a movie theater in the pandemic.
Okay.
But it turned out he's the producer. So what he was doing was he was interviewing me to see if I was good enough to talk to the show's host about running a movie theater in the pandemic.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't just call up and be on the phone with British radio.
Hold on. I'm doing a Google here. Yep. Edwin Lane is one of the most British names there's ever been. So can confirm.
So on Monday, okay. I'm going to be on British radio.
Whoa.
Like the global, like the whole nine yards. So yeah, this is pretty exciting. I mean, it's funny because I was talking to somebody and they were like, so what does that mean for us, meaning Penn Cinema? And I was like, nothing. Like, it doesn't do anything. It's just fun. Like, it's just going to be cool to be on, to be able to say I was on British radio.
Wow. And you don't think there's going to be a bunch of immigrants coming to live and work around Penn Cinema now?
Probably.
The British Revolution is coming.
I'm definitely going to pull, record the interview and post it on the podcast site.
Yeah, for sure.
It'll be a trip. One of the things that he wanted to talk about that I talked about at great length was why I don't think everybody streaming during the pandemic, why I think that's not a threat to movie theaters. So I think they were interested to hear from someone who wasn't going to pronounce the industry dead. And we've talked about that here before, so I won't repeat myself. But yeah, so it's pretty exciting. I think that's going to be fun. That's on Monday.
Here's the big challenge. Tomorrow's Monday. You have to work in the podcast at least 1.5 times during the conversation. Be like, oh yeah, we've talked about that on my podcast. or one of the ways we're keeping our audience, you know, interactive is through our podcast.
I totally am. And you know what I'm going to do that? I'm going to tape. So they want me to record the conversation. They want me to record my end of the conversation on my iPhone on a voice memo.
Okay.
And then we're going to talk on Zoom. And then I'm going to email them the voice memo.
Okay.
So, because they said that sounds clearer than over Zoom or whatever. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. That's how they want to do it. So what I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to tape on the computer, like right above the camera, Penn Cinema Podcast.
I love it. I love it. Perfection.
That brings us.
Anyway, that brings us to trailers.
What were you going to say? You were making hand gestures and everything.
Well, on Zoom, you can change your background. So you need to like change your background to the Penn Cinema logo like over and over
again. Yes. All right, perfect. Yeah.
So we had a new trailer this week. It's called Body Cam.
Yeah. Wake me up when we get to the movie recap.
Did you watch this trailer?
I did.
Yeah, it's bad. Is it not bad? I was surprised.
It's not good, David.
I was surprised that it wasn't video on demand. Let's say that. It's from a studio called Paramount Dudes or Paramount like
Paramount Players.
Players.
Yeah, that's your first sign.
And I was like, the heck is this? Paramount Players. That sounds like something that like SNL would call like a
right.
something.
Right.
So anyway, I don't recommend checking this out. It's a cop movie about overcoming fear of cops and body cams and all that stuff. I think it stars Queen Latifah, right?
No.
No?
No.
Stars somebody.
Yeah, but not Queen Latifah. She, the star is much younger.
Oh, well, definitely.
I didn't catch her name, but she's way younger. Unless I like dozed off during the part where Queen Latifah came out, which is entirely possible, by the way.
Yeah, Mary J. Blige.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who it stars. So anyway, don't check that out. All right, so that's a story that finally came to an end. Let's talk about a story that never ends. We're talking about The Never-Ending Story. So we pulled this one off of our boy Jason's 10 best movies of all times list.
Right.
And checked it out this week. I was hoping to watch the first and the second one, but I only watched the first one.
Can I ask you a question before we get into Neverending Story?
Yeah.
Was Jason's list the one that had Remember the Titans on it as well, or was that Curtis Zimmerman? It doesn't matter. If you don't know, it doesn't matter.
I feel like it was Curtis's.
All right.
Yeah.
Let me start the discussion this way. I watched The Neverending Story, and I watched Remember the Titans. And when I was done watching Remember the Titans, I thought to myself, oh, this is an incredible movie. I don't know if it goes on my top 10 list, but maybe it's number 11. Like it's just so powerful and inspiring and well done. Yeah. And acting is amazing and the writing is good and it's production. I'm not saying I'm not even sure I'm putting it on my top 10 list, but I'm going to stop and think about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I watched A Neverending Story, and I mean, it's an iconic movie that everybody loves. I'll give you that. But I didn't really think it needed to be on my top 10 list.
It's not, I mean, I didn't put it on, so it clearly wasn't on my top 10 list. And this rewatch didn't cement it there or anything, but I did enjoy rewatching it. I also struggled to stay awake during parts of it. So, I mean, it's like an up and a down. It's an 80s paced movie.
First, I'm not trying to be a hater. Yeah. It's a good movie, and if you want to put it on your top 10 list, that's great. I don't have a problem with that. There was some movie a couple weeks ago that I had a problem with, but I have no problem with Neverending Story being on your top 10 list.
I won't say what movie that is, but I will see. We turned the podcast off, and he was like, "What was with that movie?"
Okay, so I'm not trying to be a hater, and I have no problem with this being on your top 10 list. It's a good movie. I enjoyed it. Here's my problem. Here's what's my problem. This is why it's in my opinion, is not on my top 10 list, or even I'm not going to stop and think about it. You know what my problem is?
What's your problem?
My problem. I'm going to tell you my problem. I have a problem. My problem is this.
Okay.
My problem is that the movie came out in 1984.
Uh-huh.
The special effects would have been cutting edge in 1975.
Yeah.
By the time – and that bugged me the whole movie. The whole movie, I kept thinking to myself, I feel like 1975 is generous. I feel like they could have made this movie in 1969.
Really?
I mean, by the time they had this movie, we had already seen Star Wars. We had already seen Empire Strikes Back, I think.
Oh, well, you're right. Yeah.
I think maybe we had seen Return of the Jedi. I'm short on those dates exactly, but I mean, we're a year away from Back to the Future, and this, remember that church TV show that was Davy and Goliath that was made with clay action figures or something?
Oh, yeah.
This was watching an after-school special.
But Jim Henson was really big just really getting big at this point, though, right?
Yeah.
So these Muppets and puppets were the shiz for a little bit. Right around there.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right, David. I've been honest. You tell me, what did you think?
This movie brought back a lot of nostalgic things for me. I remember even as a child struggling when Artax died.
Yeah.
Horse that was.
Yeah.
And I've read some things that was a really difficult thing to film, because they really put that horse and they tied it down and then pulled it in water, and it was freaking out, and the kid has talked about how traumatizing it was for him to act against that.
I will say this about a really positive thing about this movie, which maybe outweighs all the other stuff I just said. It was very moving. That scene that you're talking about, and when the boy's crying reading the book, that's powerful stuff. I teared up.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what good, effective movie is all about, is if it reaches you, then it reaches you. That's a win.
So rewatching this really cemented it as one of those movies that I really enjoyed as a kid, and I understand why I enjoyed it. Sometimes you go back and you don't understand why you enjoyed
it. Right.
You know what I mean?
And, yeah, totally.
And this is this isn't This is one of my favorite childhood films from when I was young, but it's not like, I'm not jonesing to watch it again or anything like that. Or,
right.
But if you know, if I wound up having kids, I could see myself showing this to my children.
Yeah.
You know?
I honestly
sometimes I'm surprised this movie wasn't more popular, because I remember growing up that a lot of my friends had never watched it or were interested in it. And it's weird because it has like all the things that you would think kids would be into nowadays, but I don't think that maybe at that time this type of fantasy was as widely pop culturally accepted. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, that was great. Good movie. Good solid movie. I enjoyed watching it. It's interesting. We're talking about top 10 lists. I think when you and I did that show at Zootropolis, one thing we learned when we were reviewing favorite movies of the year was that there's so many ways to approach your top 10 list. So yeah. Are you approaching it like your top 10 best movies, or are you approaching it like your top 10 movies that are special to you?
Right.
Right. And I think that's what we're seeing with Jason's list, is that, you know, he's got this movie obviously means a lot to him, and that's cool. I respect that. Yeah. You know, I dig it.
Well, if you've never seen The NeverEnding Story and you're into that kind of thing, I would definitely check it out, especially if you like what was that show that just recently, The Dark Crystal, that just had a revival, or Labyrinth. It's right around there on those type of movies.
I agree with you. I recommend this movie, and my favorite part of it, which I just loved, which for me probably cemented why it was successful, is because it gets to that point at the conclusion where the hero, the fantasy hero in Fantasia, says, "But I didn't bring the boy along." And the princess or the empress says, "Yes, you did." So as the reader, the hero in the earthly boy, he was brought along. And then they make the point that we, as viewers of the movie, like, that hero brought someone else along.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Yeah. And it's pretty cool, like, because that sort of, you know, I love that sort of tie-in, that it collapses all those levels. And it makes you think about, what are you doing, you know, in your storytelling? Who are you bringing along, and what are you bringing them along for?
Right.
That's pretty cool. So I think I will say this. I think there's more to this movie than first meets the eye.
Right. And it's got a killer song.
Yeah. Remind me of Stranger Things.
Right. All right. Well, another Stranger Thing to remind you of is our listener notes from The Shadow.
The Shadow knows.
Segway King. He says, "Hey, you know how this is in referring to our recent rewatch of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy." He says, "Hey, you know how everyone is worried about a job? Well, Uncle Ben in Spider-Man was 68 and still looking for a job." So, I mean, come on. So,
thank you, Shadow.
Thank you, Shadow. We got it.
Trying to find the upside.
So, all right, let's move on to before we go away, of course, we always want to hear from you guys. If you want to talk to us about whatever, go ahead and email us at podcast@pencinema.com. Even if you want to tell us about how Uncle Sam didn't have a job.
I have an idea for a movie we should watch for next week's show.
Oh.
But in the meantime, I would love to take a suggestion from a listener, and then we'll post it up on the Facebook page and gather some comments on the movie leading up to it. So next week, or when that week would happen, we would talk about our review and also maybe share some listeners' reviews as well. Yeah. So if you have an idea that you think we should all watch, we'll all get on the same page. podcast@penncinema.com. Hit us up.
Yeah, very cool. All right, so let's move into what are you watching, what are you reading, what are you doing? We spoke before we hit the record button, and I said, you know, I know that I did things, but I'm looking here, and I'm not sure what I did. My list is almost nothing, and your list is substantial. So I don't know what's going on. I mean, maybe because I'm still sitting at the computer all day, like, and I turn around, and I'm in my living room, and I'm just like, I don't want to do any screen time. I'd rather do something else, but I don't know. I didn't do much. I finished up Parks and Rec, which I loved the ending. I think it has an amazingly well done ending. I still have to watch the Zoom special they did. But I read a masterpiece this week. And when I say masterpiece, I want to tell you, it was not a masterpiece at all. And people were raving about it in like the circles of like reviews and stuff I read. And it was a literary milestone called Batman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And it was
What is that?
And the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was this three series, like short little blip where they teamed up three separate times. And everyone was like, oh, this is cool. This is your like 80s childhood dreams come true. And the whole time I'm reading it, I'm just like, oh, this is boring. Like, I just don't care about this at all. And as a respected man child, I will tell you, this did not press my buttons the right way. So that was like what I did this week. What did you do?
Well, I watched a lot of movies. Did I tell you about the couch bed? Are we up to speed on the couch bed?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know that it was created. And
it was created and alive, alive and well. And we may never move the bed back upstairs again. But so I have been watching that German TV show called The Dark.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Oh man, and the more it's one of those shows that like the first episode is good, but then when you get into the second and third and the fourth, like it just keeps getting better and better and harder to like tear yourself away from it. So I highly recommend The Dark. It's on Netflix, and do it the cool way. Chayla told us the cool way to do it is watch it in German with English subtitles.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. So that's what the cool kids are doing. I also mentioned earlier, I watched Remember the Titans. I was crying. Like just straight up, like had to get a tissue and blow my nose and wipe the tears off my face. Like Remember the Titans, such a great movie. Denzel, every time I watch Denzel, I think to myself, why do I watch anybody else?
Wow.
Like he's just the man. I mean, he's got it. He's so good, such a talented actor. Okay. So it's probably been a long time since you saw Remember the Titans. I highly recommend you go back to it. I also – my family and I watched the Michelle Obama documentary called Becoming, okay. Which incredibly inspiring. And we also watched the new Seinfeld, I think it's called 23 Hours to Die or something, where it jumps out of a helicopter at the beginning. Really funny stuff, especially funny. I'm really happy because Kayla is like now officially like – into Seinfeld. So we're watching Reba, and when we're done with Reba, I'm going to recommend we go back and start with the first Seinfeld and work our way through that franchise.
Nice.
Our family also watched the entire Back to the Future trilogy.
Oh, sweet, sweet, sweet.
So good. Yeah. And I have to say, like, my memory of the franchise was like Back to the Future was awesome, Back to the Future 2 was okay, and Back to the Future 3 was like kind of lame. And if I had to rank them, that is how I would rank them. But Back to the Future 3 was still pretty good. Like, I'm not saying it was great or whatever, but it was funny. Like, it's a fun family adventure. And yeah, I liked it. So I also finished the TV show Black AF. And I finished my family. We all watched the entire season 2 of Dead to Me. I have to agree with what a lot of the critics are saying, which is, we loved it just because we love the characters and we love the show, but the whole season came and went and nothing really happened. I mean, some things happened, but not a ton. So I don't know if you're thinking about getting into Dead to Me, I would go back and watch the first season and watch it all the way through both seasons. Mm. I think it's a great show, but I can't wait for season 3.
Wow.
And then also every Friday night, Marley has us all watching RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, girl. I like it. We have a lot of fun with it. And Marley's super into it, but we're all into it watching it. And at this point, I am, for better or for worse, I am totally invested.
I remembered some things that I left off my list. I visited the moms for Mother's Day. You know, hadn't seen her since the beginning of all this. We thought we could.
Wow.
I introduced her to Middleditch and Schwartz, the stand-up.
Ah.
That's good. So we watched one of those, and then we watched one of the best episodes of Deep Space Nine called In the Pale Light. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
It's like one of the, it's where like the main character is basically, it's told through him writing a log to the superiors about how he broke morals of the company and like broke laws and basically fooled politicians into joining a war, and people died in the process. But like in the end, it should save a bunch of people. And at the end of the episode, like, because in Star Trek, like, the people are always like very, very morally straight and like good. And at the end, he's like, you know what? This wrong is something that I can live with it. And he's like, I can definitely live with it. And then he deletes the log and doesn't tell like the superiors about how he did all this, and just lets it seem like it was a natural occurrence.
Wow.
So it's really powerful. It's really good. So
yeah, that sounds pretty intense.
But that's about that. So what were you thinking for next week?
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to suggest this, and whatever, if you have a better idea, I'm always open. But we were talking last night, and I let it out there that I had never seen Edward Scissorhands.
Whoa.
Have you seen it?
I have never seen it. I've seen it once, and I was not paying attention. I was younger, and I think I was just like also playing video games or something.
Wait, how old were you? Younger.
I wasn't a child, but I just remember I wasn't paying attention. So
that reminds me of Bob Dylan's quote, I was older then, I'm younger than that now.
It's exactly what I was saying.
Right.
All right, so let's do Edward Scissorhands next week.
All right. It also came up partly in conversation because there's that great Seinfeld episode with the barber, and at the end when the young barber reconciles with his father barber, the father barber says, that Johnny Depp, he making me cry. So, let's do Edward Scissorhands, and I'll post it up on our Facebook page. And if any listeners want to watch it and let us know what they thought of it, that would be fun. We'll include your comments in our review.
Yeah, and once again, if you want to get in touch with us, please do. podcast@pencinema.com. Reviews, comments, suggestions, you know, negative comments, whatever. If you want to ask questions about the drive-through, the drive-through movie theater, so the drive-in.
Actually, what we would really appreciate would be if you want to write in with answers about the drive-in.
Oh, that'd be better. Yeah.
That'd really help us out of a couple jams.
All right. So once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Bolton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
And party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.